Everybody, this is Jick, and welcome to the Thursday night Jick show with Jick. Yeah, that was some Sheryl Crow to lead in with. I got started a little late. Sorry about that. I had to pee. And here at the office, it's weird. You know how when like women live together, they'll start to menstruate at exactly the same time? It's gotten to the point where Riff and I always have to pee at exactly the same time. So, yeah, it's a good thing we have a backyard and that we're men. And, you know, I say that based on this one time that Riff and I had to pee at the same time. Usually, when I have to pee and there's somebody in the bathroom, it's somebody taking a shower. So I just go in and I contribute to their shower in a way that's not always entirely welcome. But, yeah. Anyway, so I feel like not a whole lot has really happened since Monday. Nothing big apart from the sort of marching on in progress of the plague events. Mostly what we've been doing is like just kind of businessy stuff. Had a meeting with the accountant yesterday to find out some stuff about how much money we have to give the government, and talking about becoming like a real company with actual employees and benefits and stuff, which is something that looks like we're going to be doing at the beginning of the year. Which is both interesting and terrifying. Luckily, we've got Zlania here full-time now to handle all the stuff that I don't want to do. Speaking of that, she's been... I don't know how many of you listening have had any issues with this, but we've had a lot of back-order issues with the store, and I think we're pretty much on track with all that. She now has the ability to call all the people that I used to call to order stuff, and she has successfully ordered shirts and glassware for restocking. So that's pretty good. What else? We also, Hot Stuff finished up his visit, headed back to the liberal shithole East Coast nonsense that he prefers to surround himself with in life. And but before that, we, as I posted in the gameplay thread, I'm not sure everybody's seen it, we met with the guys from the co-location place, or rather the guy from the co-location place and the guy from the integration company, which is sometimes referred to as a managed services company. which leads us to believe that I think they just pick a couple words out of the dictionary every time they talk about the company and decide to call the company that kind of company. So, that was pretty good. We went and toured the data center, and it was really nice. The company has actually grown enough in the last, like, year or so that they've got, like, a whole floor of the skyscraper downtown that's their new data center. And they showed us both the new one and the old one, and it seems like they've really... It seems like they sort of did what we're doing in that after they started making enough money to actually do the infrastructure right, they did so in spades. And so they've got their old data center is good, you know, it's fine. And the new data center where they're slowly moving stuff to and where our stuff is going to be is just beautiful. Giant air conditioners in there cooling off all the machines, and it's like it's deafening, like all good data centers. It's almost impossible to actually carry out a conversation in there. And rack after rack of delicious, delicious hardware. And so, yeah, we met that. Although we had pretty much already decided that those were the guys that we were going to go with for co-location. So the biggest part of this meeting was actually meeting the guy from the managed services company. And we actually met with and had a couple drinks with the guy that owns the company. So that seems to be... you know, as high up as we could have gotten there, but it's still pretty small. It's big enough that there's a good pool of expertise, but it's not so big that there's, I feel like, going to be a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of guys doing a shitty job because they know they can hand it off to somebody else. I want to say their staff is like 12 people. And so what's going to happen now is I signed a contract with them for the initial setup, so they're going to be getting in touch with me. I suspect it'll be tomorrow, but it might be Monday, because it's hard to tell. You know, they probably have other stuff going on. So what I believe is going to happen is that we will arrange for them to have access to the existing servers. They will take a look at what's going on. They will figure out what our bottlenecks are and what kind of stuff we should concentrate on as far as planning for future expansion in the new boxes. Like, you know, I've got a budget for each web server, and, you know, it's like, how much of this should we spend on RAM? How much of this should we spend on processors? How much should we spend on hard drives for both the web servers and the database servers? And so then we got it so that what they're going to do is actually, we're going to tell them who we want to buy the web servers from and who we want to buy the database servers from, and then they're actually going to, I would assume, put together an actual, like, purchase order format document for us that we can just then give to the people and say, look, this is what we want. And the cool thing is the people who are picking the hardware are going to be the people who are installing the OSs on the hardware and then optimizing and tuning that stuff once the game actually gets running on there. So I feel like we're in good shape here. And I feel this tremendous weight being lifted from my back very slowly as I no longer have to half-ass be responsible for knowing how to do all kinds of stuff that I don't know how to do as far as, like, actually administrating the servers. Like, whenever there's a DOS problem, you know, which has been, you know, only once, actually. But, you know, whenever anything goes wrong with the configuration, I'm just like, fuck, I feel like kind of in one of those dreams where you have to go back to high school for some reason because, like, it turns out your diploma doesn't really mean anything, and so you got to go back, and, like, you realize it's, like, the last day of class, and you haven't been to class all year, and you have to take a test, and you haven't studied. Yeah, that's what I feel like every time I open a config file on the servers. Not really that bad. I mean, I've done, I guess, a decent job up to this point, but still, it is very nice to know that in the future, somebody else will be responsible for dealing with all that shit. And that it'll be somebody that, and like I said, I think we can deal with it. I think we can trust these guys, and it's also nice that now that we're paying them that we can actually sort of, like, tell them what to do, which is something that it's very, it's hard to get, I don't know that it's hard to get help for free, but it's not advisable to get help for free because, you know, if somebody's working on something and they get 80% of the way done with it and then drop the ball, you can't exactly, like, crack the whip, but you can point to the check stub, you know, and, yeah, so it's been interesting. It's been, like I said, I've been doing a lot of running a business for the last few days instead of a lot of working on the game. But everything that I've done is slowly getting more and more of the business running stuff out of my hands so that I have more time to sort of manage the creative team and get that kind of stuff done. And better game for you, which is always a good thing. So, I guess we can hop into some questions here. Starting a couple days ago, the DMD says, the fez, presumably the fez of etymology, could have been made from a wang instead of the cockenary, but that would be ridiculous. I get it. Cockenary instead of dictionary, and ridiculous instead of ridiculous. You know, speaking of ridiculous, I used to know this guy named Rick Hickox, who then opened an internet cafe, and, I met him when his cousin was like, dude, we should go to my cousin's house because he can beat Contra, like, real fast. And we went there. And the guy actually beat Contra on three guys, which is something that I've never seen anyone do since and that I've never been able to do myself because I always do the, you know, 30 guys code. And it was always fun. Like, my dad and I used to, every once in a while when we'd get bored, we'd be like, hey, you want to play through Contra? Hell yeah, I want to play through Contra. So then we'd play through Contra, blow up that alien and shit, and it was pretty awesome. Yeah. So anyway, that and Rickoculus reminds me of Rick Hickox. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I guess the fez could have been made from a wang instead of the dictionary, but it's a relatively powerful item. I don't know where you are when you get the rest of the ingredients for the wang. I mean, probably in hardcore it's more difficult to get a wang than it is to get a dictionary. Because you have to farm in a bunch of different places, but I don't know. I like it being the dictionary. I mean, a wang doesn't really give you any etymological information anyway, and a good dictionary does. So, that's good. Lunchbox Fantasy says, and this was 2 days ago, and I don't remember when I actually pushed out the new managed store code that Zeno wrote. He says, I don't think the mall advertising rank is calculated correctly. All stores caught in a tie with you are calculated into rank, which I wouldn't think to be accurate. You can see this as you increase in rank by thousands when you go from zero meat to one meat in the budget. Right now what it should do is give you you are in an X way tie for X place. Unless there are any arithmetic errors in there. I mean, I don't know if it's saying you're in an X-way tie for X place and X is the number of groups of budgets above you, because it might, yeah, I can see it being possible that there are some arithmetic errors in there, but I don't think there are. I mean, presumably, if you add one meat to your budget from zero, you should move up only one place. Because it should say, you know, you're in a however many tens of thousands tie for X, and then you're in a however many thousands way tie for X minus 1. So that may not be the case, but we'll look at it. Let's see. Garland says, the Over the Beanstalk area needs presumably a link at the top, even though Cobb's Knob does not, because you're required to spend a whole lot more time in the sky than in Cobb's Knob. Yeah, that's a good point. Especially if I end up adding more content to the sky. I've always felt a little sad that there are only three areas up there. Although I don't know what else. I mean, we could do some maybe optional stuff up there. There could be some kind of random stuff for some kind of quest thing or some stuff. But, yeah, I'll look at that. I don't suppose it would hurt to add the one more. Cobb's Knob is also, there's some content coming down the pipe, some extra stuff to go in there as part of a big project to make meat smithing more interesting, which I think people will be happy about. There's probably going to be a sort of mine area in Cobb's Knob called the Knob Shaft, which is also very funny to me, because I also think that farting is really funny. Arcone says, on the What is KOL page, it says KOL is in beta, but that's not true anymore. I guess you're right. Maybe I should rethink that. Maybe this is an opportunity to get the quotes that I like about the game being worthless and having no future and not being the worst. That's something I might want to look at, just rewriting that thing. There might also be some funnier stuff than the stuff that I've got in there that I could replace the little examples with or whatever. I picked those items. I think there were only like maybe 200 or 300 items in the database when I wrote that, so maybe I could have Mr. Skullhead go through and pick his favorite item descriptions. The Games Magazine article made me think how happy I was with the description for the lime, because I hadn't read that in a long time. Mortis says, how about two skills / buffs that correspond to the effects of deodorant and reodorant, possibly as level 12 skills for disco bandits and seal clubbers? Ah, it's like you read our minds. When in the thread on our private forum where we were talking about the things that modify the gameplay element, that those the deodorant and the reodorant modify, and the things that the two items that we introduced at the same time, we wanted there to be a total of three things that impacted those, and two of them would be skills that were self-buffs. Because that's something that I don't... I mean, I guess there are a handful of other self-buffs, but it's something, you know, every class has the one that they start with, and something that we haven't explored a lot. Zaku says, why does the meatsmithing guide have a use multiple? Because we thought it would be funny. I think they're consumed, too, when you use them, but I don't know. Maybe they're not. Let's see. Mr. Skullhead is instant messaging me because he's looking into our making plans for the UK trip in December. It's looking like this Columbus thing on November 5th is turning into a much bigger deal. Tavern Wench, who is, I guess, putting it together, says that there's like 80-plus people confirmed now, which makes it probably the second biggest KOL thing ever, since I believe that Arkenstock didn't quite hit 80 people. I never saw firm numbers for how many people throughout the entirety of KOLCon 2 showed up for stuff, but there were, I think, 175 people that checked in at the barbecue, so that was pretty nutty. And Tavern Wench is expecting it to get up to probably 100 people. They've switched it to another hotel because they were able to get into a place that had, like, a big conference room where we're not only allowed but encouraged to drink, she said, according to the general manager there. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, and a lot of people that I've really wanted to meet for a long time and have not met at any other get-together are going to be there. Ad Rider, just confirmed, which is cool, because I'd like to meet that dude, and who else? We're meeting Fnord and Cassandra, which is really awesome. It looks like Marshall and Devil's Advocate, which is cool as hell. And I just talked to Werebear, who says that he's probably going to make it, which is hella exciting, because he was supposed to come to Con 2, but had something come up and couldn't make it, and I was very disappointed. And, yeah, I likes me some Werebear. He sent me this package with a bunch of totally legal data in it that I've been enjoying in a totally legal way ever since, and he wrapped it in a great big shirt with a bear on it that says Bear Hug, and that was pretty cool. And then, like, a little werebear figurine from the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures game, which was also really cool. Yeah, I likes me some werebear. Not that I don't like all the rest of the people I mentioned as much, just because I didn't spend as much time talking about them as I did werebear. It's just that, you know, I kind of have a man crush on Werebear. That's weird. I don't think I've ever even seen a picture of him. I just imagine him as looking like an actual bear. Halo says, in response to the suggestion of swapping the 1 for a 0 in the mall store quantity book, box rather, is it plausible to have the QTY period clickable to automatically change them to 0? Huh. That is an interesting idea. Well, nobody would ever notice it unless we called attention to it in the little question mark documentation thing, which is a trope, I think, is... I don't know if you call it a trope. It's a tendency that I would... there are probably a lot of other things in the game that we could put into the little expandable help boxes like that and would be kind of cool. And then I don't entirely... I'm not exactly in love with the aesthetic of the little question mark, but I can't think of a better way of doing it. And... yeah, I like that we can get a lot more information on the page without actually cluttering the page up. Because that managed store page is a cluttered-ass motherfucker, even the way it is now. Which, you know, once we add enough functionality that there's another two or three options that you can change on there. And we've been talking for a long time about making it so you can unlock, like, you can pay to remodel your store and change the picture, adding a whole bunch more store pictures, because those weren't supposed to be recycled art. I really had planned on making a whole bunch of pictures for you to use as your store, but then I just ended up at the last minute just kind of resizing a lot of the existing stuff. But also, there's a lot more buildings in the game now, so I can sort of, even using existing artwork, I could still make a whole lot more options. So, and then we thought about the idea of, like, multiple ascensions, unlocking new storefronts, some of which could be like animated and cool and stuff. And so if we do that, then we can clean up that interface a lot, because once there are like a bunch of things for you to do that are just purely administrative in your store, then it kind of makes sense to have another page for that and have the inventory management page be just inventory management. And also making it so you can like the improving the interface for pulling stuff out of there, like maybe a checkbox, pull all out, auto sell all kind of thing would be nice for people. We're also in the middle of, it's in testing on the dev server, in the middle of some sort of hotly contested in terms of design and functionality improvements to the auto sell interface. And because I know for a fact that at least one person asked, because I went through the questions earlier, but probably more than one, won't be too long on the adding multiple to clan stash. I feel like that could actually probably be done in an evening if there was ever an evening free. So we'll take care of that before too much longer. To go back to Mortis's question about the skills / self-buffs that correspond to the effects of deodorant and reodorant, I think the idea was that... I think maybe the one that makes monsters more likely to attack you was going to be Turtle Tamer? Seal Clubber, okay. Well, we got a lot of shit in the pipe skill-wise for Seal Clubbers and not a lot for everybody else. And then the other one was going to be either Disco Bandit or Accordion Thief. I don't quite remember which. Whichever one has the mad looting skills, which is obviously Disco Bandit, because Accordion Thieves only have songs. Yeah. It might be worth it to start to put a little project item up in our Wikigasm to do those high-level skills, because I think we have at least one per class now. And it would add some interesting functionality, and it would maybe reinvigorate people who are getting bored with repeat ascending because they have new skills to go through and get, and they'd actually have to, if we did, I don't know, levels 13, 14, and 15 skills, or even just levels 13 and 14, like, it would make it so if you wanted that skill in hardcore, you would have to get to level 14 in hardcore, which, that's interesting. And, you'd have to not free the king as soon as you could, not beat the game, as it were. Let's see. Hank O'Shaw says, I think the cure for the gray should be chicken noodle soup. I don't want to write myself into the game any more than I already have. I already kind of regret the Uncle Jick's brownie mix, only that it's, I wanted it to be some product name that rhymed with mix. I mean, it could be mix, but there's already that in there. I didn't like the idea of calling the disease chicken pox either, just because, I don't know, it seems a little wanky to me. But, the cure already has a name, Doc Galactic's Miracle Cure. Let's see, WGITC says, how many hockey sticks have been found so far? I suppose I could look that up for you. While I let that load, I will read another question. Sizzler says, regarding the weird leaderboards, how does MySQL determine which 10 people are placed there if there are several players with just one of the noted item? I don't remember. It either orders it by that random MySQL order that it picks when it picks orders totally at random, or I might have made it do it by player ID, so that older players get precedence. Or, in the interest of what I was trying to accomplish with those weird leaderboards, it might actually make sense to order it by the newest player ID first.
Order by random.
Or ordering by rand, as Xenophobe suggests. That's actually... Because I suppose if you order by quantity descending, comma, random, it would only use random in the event of ties, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... Yeah, awesome. And actually, yeah, that would be... Do the weird leaderboards change every hour?
They don't change at ties.
But what would be that? What would make that a little weird is that then... Yeah, I guess if there were just a bunch of ties, then every hour... the weird leaderboards where it was a bunch of stuff that people only had one of it would be new people in the leaderboard every hour. That's actually kind of an interesting idea. So rather than just randomly picking people and giving them a whole day of glory, it could randomly pick a bunch of people to give 1 hour. Order by comma rand in weird leader boards, he typed. Cub says, hey, Jake, any chance of a / C nerdcore? It could be for us nerds to talk about Magic the Gathering and have philosophical debates on why Pokemon aren't just for kids. And as a follow-up, says it could have a haiku-style set of tests where you have to answer select nerd questions correctly. And second follow-up, Eternal Witnesses idea is that you get beaten up every time you enter the channel. It is pretty funny. I don't know. I think this entire game is really a place for nerds to talk about stuff like that. Although it's weird. Every once in a while in Lounge, we'll get to talking about Magic the Gathering, and half of the people in Lounge just vanish. Because they're like, fuck you, nerds. I'm going to go get laid and drink beer. No, not really. Gorblack says, the description for the big stick should read, speak softly and carry this. That's kind of clever, actually. What's the big stick? I see. Wow, that's a totally boring item description. I'm going to leave that up on my screen so that I'll remember to write that in later. Arcane says, could you make it so that we get a plague status update in-game from docs? Do you mean... Oh, right. Arcane says, to get the plague under control, somebody will have to cure Chatbot. That is an excellent point. I didn't really think about that. Chatbot is totally infected. Yeah, Xenophobe actually infected Chatbot on purpose. But, huh. That is an... I wonder how many people that's responsible for infecting every day. That's a very good point. Maybe I should... maybe Chatbot should get some kind of immunity. Because, yeah, I mean, it's this is not over. It's not that we created a mechanism to get the plague under control and then fucked up and it didn't work. We're still messing with this event. So don't worry. Tiny Plastic Not Funny Anymore comes up with an idea that I kind of like, actually. I regularly listen to loads of channels at once, and sometimes one channel becomes particularly interesting, and it would be useful to have a command that stops listening to all of the / listened channels simultaneously and suggests / la la la, which I think is actually pretty clever. And that would be kind of useful, I guess, just to unlisten every channel except the one that you're currently in, and it would be pretty trivial to code. So
you call the command shut up?
I like la 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 because it's like you picture someone in chat putting their fingers in their ears and going, I'm not listening, la 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 la. Yeah, thank you, Tiny Plastic Not Funny Anymore. I'm actually going to put that on my list. And it's on my list. Repo Man says, for Boostafarian paths, wouldn't it be better to hunt for 6 goat milks instead of 6 goat cheeses and have the trap store give you 3 white Canadians instead of pizzas? pardon me. Yeah, that is actually something that I don't see any reason not to do. That ought to probably be modified a little bit because I feel like there's a little bit too much time spent. I almost feel like making the goat cheese part of the quest a little easier and making another part of the quest a little harder so that it takes the same number of turns but you don't have to spend so many of them at the goats. Merle says, why is it that the naughty sorceress gets a final attack if she is beaten by anything except your melee/skill attack? The text appears before her attack, so shouldn't she be dead? It's not that she deliberately gets an extra attack. Nothing should get a final attack after it's dead. The only thing I can think of that I know for a fact operates like that is the saw spheres. And I still... there's no reason that if this wasn't really true that I wouldn't just go in and change it, but I still kind of disagree with everyone else on the dev team about the order in which that stuff should fire. If it's not the saw spheres that you're talking about, then maybe write in and tell me what it is so that I can take a look at it. The saw spheres only fire if the monster actually does damage to you, because that's how damage shields work. But it used to be confusing in the way that it would operate, because you could get killed, and then your Saw Sphere would kill the monster. And I don't know what happens then. It probably just assumes that you're dead. I think it gives the monster the benefit of the doubt when it checks to see if the fight is over. or maybe you were ending up beaten up even though you... Okay, that was what happened. You would take the damage, get beaten up, and then the Saw Sphere would heal you back to less than or greater than zero hit points. So you'd be beaten up, but you wouldn't lose the fight. Which, yeah, that's lame. But I don't know if it's any less lame than what happens now, which is just also kind of confusing. The fight code could use me spending a lot of time going through and kind of... The problem with it is that it's just gigantic. And what I need to do is I need to break a lot of the stuff, like the familiars attacking and stuff, out into sections of the source include file that we have, just so it's easier to read the fight script, because there's a lot of it. I mean, the part where you use items in combat, that's just huge. The part where you use skills in combat, there are a lot of things where it just, you know, we don't really need that code to be visible while we're editing the fight script. It's just that, you know, it needs to be there so that it will work, and makes it difficult too. The fight script is far and away larger than every other piece of code in here. It's let's see. I don't know how you find like an average, but it's at least three times as long as the longest other script. Not counting the museum, because all that data in there is like hard coded into the museum page, because I didn't see any point like dumping it into a text file since it's never gonna change. Lieutenant Cheese writes, "Hey, I think that a use multiple items link in the inventory page would be cool. What do you think?" Well, there's already a use multiple items link on every item that you can use more than one of at once. So, that's, you know, kind of already there. let me see. XYM says, "I really like the events that have been happening lately. They really add another element to the game that is only achieved through these sorts of events. Whether it's something silly or benign like the plague, or something more in-depth like the Penguin Mafia saga, these events really add to the fun level of the game. I love it when players are confused and frantic. Keep it up. I hope to see more events like this. Thanks." Yeah, that's something that I think we kind of overlook. Like, the excitingness of stuff that's, like, temporary and ongoing is, I don't know. It gets us caught up in it too. You know, it's interesting. It gets to be fun to watch random chat channels again. You know, it gets to be fun to actually play the game again. And yeah, it's neat. The sort of issue with that is that it's the more we're kind of changing code on the fly like that, the more likely we are to introduce sort of game shattering bugs. But I don't know. We're getting better about that kind of thing. We're getting a lot more cautious. Now that we've been bitten a few times, and it's, yeah, you know. I like the idea of doing some kind of fleeting events, some kind of temporary thing, you know, every two or three months. You know, I'd hate to get to the point where people expect it, and we end up doing it even if we don't have a particularly good idea. Or I hate the idea of not being able to come up with any ideas, because that always sucks when that happens and we get something, you know, get something we can't finish because of the sort of me not liking any ideas in the last mile and me not being able to come up with anything better. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Scotty Girl C says, "Why aren't deodorant and reodorant zappable? Please put this on your to-do list." We want to avoid having sets of two items on in a category of things that zap into each other. The only other things that are like that are sort of exception cases. There's the white picket fence and the barbed wire fence, and there are certain outfits that only have two elements to them. And those are the only sets of two that are in there. Because the other stuff, I mean, we don't necessarily accept in cases where it really makes... Well, I mean, in cases with the outfits, which I guess it doesn't really make much more sense. I mean, it's... The point of it is to not allow you to turn items into other items predictably. It's to mitigate RNG screwage, you know, which, with the outfits, it's like you can do that to, if you, you know, accidentally get two of one part of an outfit dropping, then sure, it makes sense that you would be able to, on purpose, get the other part of the outfit by expending the zap resource. And, you know, with the fences, that was obviously a special case. But with the other stuff, I mean, if you want a deodorant and you have a reodorant, go adventure in the frat house. You know, you'll find it. Because they both drop relatively frequently, I think. Arcane says, another sad face in the hippo ballet to you in the harem. Yeah, I know. I really need to draw that, but I just don't want to draw hippos and tutus. Maybe I'll draw hoof prints in a dance step instead. Redpot says, multi-use sonar in a biscuits. No, you only ever have to use three of them, and they don't do anything once you're done using them. I mean, those are almost like quest items anyway. So, really, no, I don't want to mess with that. LOTE says, could you make it so the slot machines have a little weight between them or something so it's not so boring, and have a scratch-off lottery ticket like the barrel full of barrels works? I could see, I mean, I don't know that it's really that boring. One thing I thought of doing with the slot machines, and what I actually might do now that I can just tell Hot Stuff to make animations for me, is for every thing that's in, for every outcome of the slot machines, have one that rotates between the outcomes and then gets to one after, you know, half a second, one that does the same thing at 1 second, and one that does the same thing at 1.5 seconds, and then put a 2-second delay on it displaying whether you won or not. But the problem with that then, I mean, it would, if you won meat, it would update your character pane beforehand, so you'd be able to see what happened, and it wouldn't really be, like, suspenseful. Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's going to be something pretty soon that causes the Thatch Roof Casino to make a lot more meat. And who knows, they'll probably use it to build some incremental improvements to their stuff in there. You know, so they might actually become a real building. Although, it's funnier if it's Thatch Roof. Vlad Sheepshank says, so, Jick, why did you put Chad in the right pane? It could have easily gone in the left pane. Was there some specific reason you put it there, or did you just randomly put it there? Well, Chad started out as the community graffiti wall, which I didn't realize people would actually use as a chat, but I should have. I mean, the game didn't have a chat when I wrote it, and the way that it worked in the beginning was that every page had your, it had, it was, there weren't any frames at first. Every page was the Kingdom of Loathing at the top, and then the menu across the top of the different places you could go to. And then there was a box with the character in it. Underneath that was a box with the chat in it, and then to the right of that was a box with the game in it. You know what would really, I think, be entertaining to people, and that I should do, is I should dig up some of the old code and take some screenshots of what the game used to look like, because that would be fascinating. It would be fun for me to look through it, too, because, I mean, it, in the beginning, it went through a lot of visual changes for good. So then, I mean, at that point, I broke off the, I put the chat in its own pane, and the left side was still the same for a long time. And then, eventually, I broke the character pane and the top menu off into one, because it got to the point where, like, there were a whole bunch of times in the game's history where lag got really bad, and I had to make some pretty significant changes. And the reason that it's gotten so steadily bad over the last year is because I kind of ran out of things to fix in terms of the design and in terms of the actual coding. And it's getting to the point where we just need more resources to throw at it, because everything is relatively well optimized. I'm sure there are still some more tricks we could do. I know Xenophobe's got some ideas for database structure on some stuff that will probably help a lot, you know, just for the future. But, yeah, you know, the character pane, moving the stuff off to the character pane made it so the get player function didn't have to be called on every single page load. Like, you know, every time you change something in your account menu or whatever, so that it would only actually change when something changed. Like, every function that changes anything about your character sets the flag that makes the character pane reload and rerun get player and figure out everything about you and display it to you. So, putting that in its own frame, I mean, that was just kind of an optimization thing. I don't know. It just made sense to have the chat over to the right, because I feel like it makes a lot of sense to have your character be on the left, just because that's where it seems like you want to look. Although, I find playing a lot of other web games that it puts your character information on the, like, the upper right, and I just don't tend to look at it. Like, I mean, I feel like the first thing you see should be your, first thing you should see should be your guy. When you're kind of scanning the page. And I mean, the top menu only has to load once, and so there's no reason for that to require any resources at all. And I mean, I like having it in frames too. I used to hate frames, but it just makes a lot more sense for something like this where the back button isn't really particularly useful. I guess it is in like Firefox. You can use it to navigate back, like when you're moving around, but I mean, a lot of times, pretty much every page that does anything meaningful has post data sent to it, so refreshing it does a different thing, going back to it does a different thing than just like going back to where your character was before, and because your character doesn't really have a location, you know, so that's a little weird, but you know, I like that you have the ability to resize the chat section, you know, make it the whole browser. Fuck the game, nobody likes to play that boring crap anyway. Let's see. The macro documentation says, MapleFire states that you can only have 9 chat macros when you can now have 20. That's true. In fact, I've got this page up where I read that question earlier and loaded the database admin page expecting to intending to fix that, but then I forgot what I was doing and didn't end up messing with it. I wonder what the section of the document... You would think that at least I would read the documentation, but I don't. Let's see. You can have up to 20 macros /1 through /20, which I believe that's the case now, isn't it? Let me look in the account menu and see. Manager chat macros. Yes. /1 through /20. Is that... Yeah. You can have up to 20 macros /1 through /20. Go. Alright, so that is fixed. looking. Gorblax asks a good question. What do I do with these damned rat whiskers? Who knows? It's a... Those are in there as relics. We're probably going to do something with them. I think Riff had an idea for a little kind of gathering sub-quest that you could do with them to maybe make a little extra meat at that point in the game. Also says, kudos on another episode with the Kiras Chicle Kid, perhaps my favorite NPC besides He Who Must Be Named. That's pretty funny. The Voldemort-esque thing there. Let's see... MapleFire says, can you make it so you can take out a certain number of objects from your store instead of one or all? I mean, if you want constant access to 4 or 5 of them at a time, don't have them up for sale. That's what I would say. MapleFire says, can you make it so you can change your shopkeeper's name? Well, we'd have to... I mean, we'd make it so you can hire a new shopkeeper and rename them in that same stuff that we were talking about. Maybe having some unlockable new ones. Nathan186 says, Kenny, this person is currently online feature be added to people's public profiles. I don't want to do that just yet because hitting the online table is kind of a bitch on the database. So as soon as we do the optimizations to that that Tino has in mind, and maybe when we get on the new servers, we can do that. Air Alice says, I want to know what is going on with this cure, in quotes. Why can you be reinfected with the plague, and why is the infected counter still going up if we're all taking cures? Well, people are getting reinfected faster. People are getting infected faster than people are getting cured, and you can get reinfected because it doesn't really cure you. It just gets rid of the symptoms for the time being. I mean, it does cure you. It just doesn't immunize you against future attacks, future infections. The Killer Froggy says, and this is an interesting question because a lot of people, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people just assume that we would act like this, but I don't. I want to, you know, make it kind of clear that this is not how we roll. Have you planned to give anything out for Crimbo this year? And because of all the players, will gifts be limited to donators only? No, that is not something. I mean, something that's, you know, I don't want to say that we're absolutely against giving cool things to just people who donate, because, I mean, we've got this whole structure in place for giving cool things to people who donate. But the other thing is, to get a familiar of the month, you can farm for meat, buy a Mr. Accessory in the player economy, and get it. So I don't really want there to ever be anything that it's just absolutely impossible for you to get without donating, because that's, you know, that's not... We make enough money, you know, we make enough money to pay the bills, we make enough money that we don't have to have real jobs, we make enough money to maintain a staff, to maintain the game, and we don't make decisions based on how much money it will make us. And I feel like decisions such as we should create content that is only available to people who donate, those are just, you know, I'm too much of a hippie for that, even though I am now a Republican, because I'm a homeowner who runs a business, and I love George Bush because he doesn't make me pay as many taxes as filthy, dirty Democrats would, and that is absolutely not true. I totally don't mind playing taxes, because taxes is a fun game! I have this plan to make a Flash game called TurboTax, where it keeps putting posters up in front of you, and you have to click each corner of the poster to put a thumbtack in it, because it's like TurboTax, T-A-C-K-S, and the faster you tax stuff, the more points you get. And then I can be like, hey, everybody, TurboTax for free on the web! And then that'd be a clever joke. And, you know, they probably wouldn't sue us. All right. My mouth is dry. My voice is hoarse. I asked him for a sip. I'm going to play some songs. I don't think I queued up any songs. I have a bunch of songs left in the queue from my little emo show the other day, which was not that I played anything that would be really categorized as emo music, but I was sticking to slow and depressing stuff. So how about I'll play. I think I actually played this song last time. The Freshman by the Verve Pipe, and then the acoustic version of Creep, because those are both good songs. All right, I'll see you in a while with a new beer and a renewed interest in what's going on.
Young, I knew everything. She, a punk, who rarely ever took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stopping baby's breath and a shoe full of rice. No, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for the sins. We were merely flashmen. Friends took a week's vacation to forget her. School took a week's worth of volume and slapped, and now he's guilt-stricken, sobbing with his head on the floor. Thanks, I'm out of knowing how he never really wept, he said. He held responsible. She was touching her face. I'll remember what made us think that we were wise and we never found it. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely fresh men. Our hands of all we never talk of our lives and relationships and how we're guilty reconciled when our hands are warm. We fell through the ice when we tried not to slip. We say can't be held responsible. She was touching her face and I won't. How responsible. She fell in love in a bus race. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for this sin. We were merely freshmen. For the life of me, I what man is saying that we were wise and we never compromised. For life, I cannot believe we'd ever die for the sins. We were merely fresh. Whatever makes you happy, whatever you want, you're so very special.
I believe I never noticed that has the whole very thing going on instead of the original, which is just two totally different songs, and one of them is no good. It's one of those times where nothing works, where profanity is needed, except profanity. let's see. Batty Doom says, "Hey, Jick, do you think the new change in Galactics will help speed ascenders? And you're doing a lot to make hardcore easier. All right, and do you plan on making new paths that are for fun?" I don't know about the new paths thing. I don't know that I've really done anything to make hardcore easier in a long time. And I don't think that the new change to Galactics actually helps speedruns at all. It's a little bit worse deal than you can get by spending more time on it. Yeah. Cantry Boy says, "Hey, are you ever going to clean up the clan logs so that it's easier to read? Like, make different sections depending on what was happening, stash, membership, clan purchases, thanks." Yeah, there's actually a couple things that still ought to be logged on there that aren't, probably, I think. And yeah, I keep meaning to do that. I think I added some kind of category field to it, but I just haven't used it for anything. And, it's just kind of low priority. It's one of those things, though, that sometimes I get in a mood to work on something, and if I thought of that, I would just do it. But I just haven't, you know. The Great Merc says, "Why the hell would you listen to Clan if you're the only person in it? What is wrong with you, Jick?" Well, you guys might have noticed some weird shit going on in the chat. And that was kind of handy for me to be able to test stuff by saying it in my clan channel and being able to hear it. So, that's why I was listening to Clan. Refgifferif813. Weird. Oh, Firefighter backwards. And E-I-B-B. I-B-B Firefighter. Backwards in Leet speak. Can we expect some new t-shirt designs in the near future, like something white? Just wondering. I don't know about white t-shirts. Yeah, I really don't like white t-shirts, and I just sort of assumed that everyone else was like me. Like, it seems like the people who play this game are much more a black t-shirt crowd than a white t-shirt crowd. If all we sold was white t-shirts, and Riff, for instance, was relying solely on stuff that we sold to provide all of his clothing needs, he would just never have a shirt on. And if anyone was actually relying on us for all of their clothing, no one would ever wear pants. And while that's a world that I speculum might like to live in, or perhaps one where everyone was saying, "I speculum, I speculum, I speculum, I speculum, I speculum, I speculum." Like the Being John Malkovich kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. The reason that there are actually a couple new shirts that we've been meaning to get printed and get in the store, but we haven't done it because given what happened when we introduced the Lime shirts and the Minimalist shirts, which was that we launched into a sort of perpetual state of being backordered that we've actually yet to come out on the other side of, I haven't wanted to add any new designs in just purely for Zlyania's sake, because she's I don't know, it's a little different now. We could deal with it now because she's full-time now, and there's not a lot of other ridiculously huge projects that she's working on, like the con stuff, taking up all that time. Although, we're just kind of expecting a Christmas rush, which is a sentence I never thought that I would utter. But, yeah. We're going to have to put something on there about, like, if you want packages delivered by Christmas, that they need to be ordered by, like, Thanksgiving, because, you know. I mean, the holidays also always go nuts here. You know what would be interesting is if we had a company Christmas party where the employees actually get to drink together, which is not something that normally happens. Wait, I forgot. We're always drunk all the time. Oh, let me see. Okay. Looking. I don't know. I don't know what we would put on a white t-shirt. We got some red ones and some purple ones coming up, and a brown one. Seal Ghostblatt says, what items are on the to-do list for adding multi-use? If they are not yet on the list, please add Thin Black Candle, Angry Farmer Candy, and Tasty Fun Good Rice Candy. Thanks much. Yeah, the candies are both on there. I should add the black candle to it also. And I should just go through and read all of the use items and see which of them do things that wouldn't make sense to use multiple for. Scotty Girl C says, your little rat monster is a mean little motherfucker. Yes, he is. Stone5150 says, how about a button to re-equip all familiar equipment when you get out of Ronin? No, I don't like that. I mean, just because it would basically involve you storing a custom outfit that was just all your familiar equipment, and I mean, or us writing logic to figure out, like, okay, what's the optimum piece of equipment for this familiar, but then it's like, it doesn't know which one you're going to want the TAM on if you only have one TAM. It doesn't know which one you're going to want the wax lips on or whatever. I mean, while I agree that there should be an easier way to manage your familiar equipment, Xenophobe has an idea, it's not this. YoshiDude89 says, can you give us any hints about the new barrel full of barrels? Play with it until the other people who play with it spoil it, and then if you really want it to be spoiled to you, then go look at where they've written down what they figured out about it. You know, goodies there. Let's see. Solar Flare says, what's your bias against gastrulation? It's perfectly natural. What is gastrulation? Let's go to our trusty m-w.com. Gastrulation, the process of becoming or of forming a gastrula, which is, of course, an early metazoan embryo in which the ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm are established either by invagination of the blastula to form a multilayered cellular cup with a blastopore opening into the archenteron, or by differentiation of the blastodisc, as in reptiles, birds, and mammals, and inward cellular migration. Xenophobe is against it because it's disgusting. Riff is against it because it's disgusting. Yeah, I'm not really sure why I'm against it. Because it uses a lot of words that are difficult to pronounce. That's why. Zizor Fox says, are there going to be more sequin things, like a sequin bra, for instance? You know, maybe. Slightly Sasha says, so when I first played this game, I was impressed but not too into it, until I found out about the Hovering Sombrero. A TMBG reference? No way. Then I set my mind to obtaining said item, and ever since, the great unpop references have eaten my soul. I'm completely owned by this game. Anyhow, I'm going to a TMBG concert in 2 weeks, and I'll totally be thinking of you guys and how the one little sombrero has made me a KOL slave. See, that's the thing. Like, I remember Mr. Skelda telling me about an interview that he read with the, or that he heard or saw with the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000, the writers, and they were like, why do you bother writing in references that only one person or two people are going to get out of your entire audience? And they were like, well, you know, if one or two people get it and just, you know, fall in love with the show because of that, which they will, because they'll realize that they're the only person who gets it other than us, then, you know, I mean, then it's worth doing. And we've always sort of felt like that. I mean, there are jokes in there that are references to things that only he and I and one other person know about, and that one other person is never going to play the game, for instance. You know, so that's a little bit of a... I mean, the They Might Be Giants thing, that's... I feel like we're kind of... They Might Be Giants-centric game, but only because we're big They Might Be Giants nerds ourselves. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what we enjoy. It's cool when you... You know, it's like watching The Simpsons and catching one of the just really obscure references and just being like, awesome, I love the guys who write for The Simpsons. And I mean, we saw, just as an aside, we saw a panel discussion with the guys, some of the writers from The Simpsons, some of the producers, at the San Diego Comic Con, where I guess it's time that we can start talking about this, since it's only, I mean, since it's like 8 months off now, but we have a booth at the San Diego Comic Con in June. And it's weird. I never would have guessed that that would be the kind of thing that we would want to be involved in, but now it's really not about comics. It's like there are sections of it that are about comics, you know, and certainly comics are represented fully there, but there are just a lot of booths, people like us, a lot of internet stuff, a lot of just, you know, websites that are games, a lot of booths about video games and booths about movies. And so yeah, we're gonna have some I don't know, some booth whores handing out stuff and trying to get people to play the game by jiggling their boobs around, and that's always fun. And we're gonna figure out a way to have some kind of screen up that's just displaying like excerpts from the game to try to catch people's eyes and that kind of thing. And the pretentious artist is gonna be building us some kind of backdrop, which we'll probably motorize and have some big animated thing. And I'm thinking like Sword and Martini guy, maybe like fighting like a Hydra whose heads are moving around independently of one another or something, except all made out of foam core, because I think that'd be really awesome. And yeah, just booth at the Comic Con. So anybody who's going to be at San Diego Comic Con and wants to see us will be there. We were there this year. And what's weird is that, you know, this is why we're sort of... Part of why we're pushing to get the new servers in place is because we definitely want to have it done before then. Because we walked around, like, at PAX the first year, we walked around with our shirts on, with our, you know, KOL shirts on. And there were, you know, 60 or 70 people that recognized us and talked to us about the game. And same kind of thing at the second PAX. But at Comic-Con, we were wearing them, and nobody really recognized us. And we were like, shit, there are still a lot of people who would really like this game who don't know about it. Like, it's really like... And it's weird to actually do something that's kind of a marketing push, but it's also like, you know, like, there's a lot of people here who would really enjoy this, and they just haven't found out about it yet. So we should, you know, we should do that, because we like making people happy. If we make more people happy, there's more happiness in the world. Ricker Scott says, of the players that have logged in during the past week, what percentage have never ascended? That is an interesting question, and I think that is a question that is worth playing a short song while I look it up and actually generate those stats. Because it's something, every time I look at it, it's like, you know, I think, wow, okay, that's weird, because there's a big percentage of people who are not playing this game the way we tend to think that everybody is playing the game now. So let me look at that. I'm going to play... I'm going to play Cowan B's Breakfast at Tiffany's again, because that's always fun.
Brett,
That was nice. Okay, so here's what we got. Of the... Oh, crap. I really should have... I want to say it was like 74,000 people who've played in the last week. 55,637 have never ascended. Something like 9,700 have ascended once, 4,000 have ascended twice, 2,000 three times, 1,000 four times, like 600 five times, 400 six times, and then it gets down into like kind of a handful for a lot of them. Up to, wow, somebody's at 82 ascensions? That didn't seem right. Maybe so. I should look at the Hall of Records every once in a while. Who is... Holy crap. Yep, Bashy and Wilder both have 82 ascensions. All right, so that makes sense. So one thing that would be more interesting to see is, you know, because, like, there are also, in the last week, probably 9,000 of those accounts are less than a week old. So that's something. It'd be interesting to see how many of them are, like, more than a month old. I mean, I don't know. I wonder how long it takes. I wonder what percentage of people over the lifetime of their character will ascend before they quit playing, and how long it takes on average. But if only there was some, I don't know, some kind of machine that would keep track of data for us and allow us to analyze it using math.
That is hard.
I don't know. Gosh. So yeah, there's the answer to that, Ricker Scott. The Alchemist says, "Hey, Jick, I was wondering if Doc's new HP and MP restoring powers are intended as a minor meat sink. If not, do you have a meat sink plan for the near future?" Not really, you know. There are a handful of new meat sinks, I guess, but they're not huge meat sinks, but they're meat sinks. I mean, that's. OLUT says, "Will there be content for higher levels rolled out?" Yep, there will be. Jack of All Games says, "With the description of the bloody flower at the IC Peak, is the Penguin Mafia going to be coming back to the game sometime soon?" Well, I mean, it's you finding a battlefield between the Yetis and the Penguin Mafia. I don't know. Never know. They'll come back eventually, I'm sure. Checking in with Merrick, who's going to be taking over for me. DigitRev says, "If we screwed up and accidentally put a familiar item in Hank's but wanted it, is there any chance in hell of getting it back, aside from dropping the hardcore restriction?" At this point, no. Well, no, I think he's saying he bought the familiar of the month and then ascended without actually using the familiar item. Yeah, that sucks, but this is the first time it's come up, so I don't think it's a common thing, and yeah, it just kind of sucks. Ted Pro says, "I hope this isn't ultra spamming. I suggest turning off holidays, Oyster Egg Day, etc., until the new servers are up, since they create so much additional lag." Well, hopefully there will not be any more holidays before the new servers go up. I don't... You know, stat days cause as much lag as the holidays, but it's when the holidays are on stack. I mean, we are, I think, going to change it so that the holidays don't fall on stat days anymore, just because that's a good idea in the long term, I think. Agent Lex says, silly question. It looks like the martini in Sword and Martini Guy's hand was added in later or something. What's up with that? No, the original picture I drew had both. So, I don't know. DJ Freemason says, would it be possible for us to change the text color that the rose-colored glasses display? I like the black, but it would be nice to have it another color. No, I don't. That's not worth doing. Having it rose would be kind of funny, but... Knight of the Round says, would there be a chance to set the Rat Quest back to what it was? No. Why would we want to do that? God the Mod 2 says, is there a reason that your combat items are redetermined every round? This seems to break the precedent of buffs. Currently fighting a monster. Oh, I see. In addition to hitting the DB all over the place. Well... partially is there's no other way for us to, at this point, to get your inventory out if, I mean, it's not, like, stored in the session or anything. I mean, I suppose we could put the list in the session. Yeah, I don't really see the point. I mean, that, you know, it's one more inventory query every round, yeah, but it's, like, it would create goofy situations if we stored that. I mean, yeah, it does suck that you can send somebody items while they're in the middle of a combat. I hadn't really thought about that as being abusable, but I suppose it is. Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, we're just going to have to say that some things like that are just vagaries of a turn-based game, you know, and the fact that nothing stops you from sitting there for 4 hours between blows with a monster. Oh, boy. Ejaculator says, I'm sure this will be asked many times tonight, but does the Grey Plague do anything other than make your text gray and add coughs to your messages? Yes. If you have it for 8 days without getting it cured, it deletes your account. I thought I made this clear on Monday. Lady Luanda says, the only thing that creeps me out more than Jick talking about his porn collection is that a DJ who was on before Jick, who makes orgasm noises into the mic, like, all the time. I don't remember talking about my porn collection. Not today, at least. Let's see. YoshiDude89 says, out of curiosity, do you ever pay much attention to the mall? No, not really. Ejaculator says, when will the Pickle Factory come back? I will say in Mr. Skullhead's absence, none may know the hour of its coming and going. Minder says, want to come play in the hurricane with us in Florida? But seriously, is there a way to fix the fluctuation of hit points when unequipping an A for an outfit and re-equipping it? Unequipping an A? Like an accessory? Huh. You know, I'm thinking about that. No, because the fact that equipping an item, unequipping something does not reduce your hit points. What happens is the get player function calculates your maximum hit points and then heals you if you are... or rather, hurts you if you are above that. I mean, it knocks you down to maximum hit points if you're above it. And equipping and unequipping stuff forces get player to be called. Honestly, I bet if you had a script... That's interesting. If you had a script that would unequip something and re-equip it without refreshing the left pane... it would allow your hit points to stay above if you could avoid having get player called. You couldn't do anything important with it. You couldn't do anything other than that. Just avoid that hit from the maximum going down. Because as soon as you go into combat or as soon as you do anything that actually is important, you know, your stats are important for, it will recall it and knock your hit points down. But the only thing that actually knocks those off when you unequip stuff is the reloading of the character pane. That's something I hadn't thought about. Yeah, you know, then that's just a little bonus for clever people who write their own interfaces, I guess. So, yeah. Nathan186 says, why does the skill Disco Face Stab stay selected throughout attacks and item uses, and items I use do not? That's because I keep forgetting to write that. At some point, and I'll have to wait for a rollover, I'll try and add a last item used in combat to the session and add that functionality. Item selection preservation. Yeah, I mean, people have been asking about that for years, because there's a lot of stuff like the dictionary that people want to use over and over again, and they're irritated that they have to select it, and it preserves it for the duration of the combat, but it doesn't. Then that's going to be at odds with it selecting the last. No, it won't. Yeah, that's trivial to do. Looking through questions. I love Jews and I want to buy them jam, says. Do you find it scary that people take a lot of notice of your throwaway lines in radio chat, or does it make you laugh? I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I wish people would take things a little bit less seriously, I guess, but I'm not gonna change my behavior based on it. LOTE says, any chance of a use for bags of goodies or prawn trench coat? A use. Okay. What's a prawn trench coat? Oh, I see. Like, okay, any chance of, open parenthesis, use for bags, a use for bags of goodies, close parenthesis, or, open parenthesis, prawn trench coat, close parenthesis. I don't know. There's a bunch of content written for new shirts that need to drop in that I just haven't done. But I should, and I shall. A use for bags of goodies, no. I want clan versus clan to be pretty much non-game related, at least at this point. And we'll figure out something else for them to do. I think we have, actually. We just haven't messed with actually putting it in. Dogalicious says, does the dictionary affect Kirp / cemetery monsters? If not, why not? Because they're spookier than they are misspelled. So their damage counts as spooky damage, yeah. Yeah, I mean it's just not say bad spelling damage, but just like poor communication skills damage. Yeah. It's not exactly that people named the monsters. It's that the twisted energy that reanimated their corpses also twisted the way that they're spelled. Yeah. So IPK4Fun says, what is Black Sunday? I haven't been playing for very long, and some of the higher level players were talking about it. What was our joke last time for what Black Sunday was? Black Sunday. Black Sunday was where there was there were some item duping bugs beforehand, and so I decided that what I was going to do was just buy, like, a couple billion meat worth of items from the mall to get rid of the items, because I didn't care if there was a lot more meat in the economy. So I changed a database field to be an unsigned large integer in MySQL, and it turns out that if you make something an unsigned large integer, it has no bounds awareness. So if you have an unsigned large integer that's set to 0 in the database, and you set it to itself -1, it becomes 5 quadrillion or whatever. And so somebody could get down to 0 meat, use a meat vortex, and have effectively an infinite amount of meat. So then it was just a huge clusterfuck. There was suddenly like a trillion meat in the economy. Most of it is gone now. I forget how much we're down to now. Let me check that out. It's like 200 and some billion, I think. And it's staying about the same. Like, I feel like now most of it is like in hanks most of the time, or it's in hordes that are not really being used for anything. And since there are limits in the mall now, it's not really as possible to fuck up stuff for everybody else using a lot of meat the way that it used to be. But I haven't actually looked at this in a long time. 276 billion left. But that's just barely down from a week ago, so that's kind of disappointing. I think I actually finally fixed this. I guess there's still some issues with the looking at the numbers of certain items throughout history. Still only one exclusive ultra rare item, just like there always will only be one. Let's see. I got some other stuff open here. Giggly Moo says, "Dear Jick, please, 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 when will this disease run its course? Could it be possible that it's grown old?" Soon. Asterix says, "Would it be possible to make the doc's auto cures approximately the same price as just buying a mass of ailment ointments? Ailment scent wind up being like one-third the cost." That I do not believe is true. It's one-third?
It's a factor of 33%.
So it's two-thirds the cost. Okay. So, I mean, that sounds a little better. I knew it wasn't one-third. Well, the problem with, first of all, is that I had no idea that the second-order doc's cures were actually better than the first order ones. Like, what I wanted to do with that, and I could have done just a tiny bit of arithmetic and figured this out to begin with, I may end up repricing them, actually, because what I wanted it to be was that the smaller ones were more cost-effective, because the reason that you would use anything other than the highest one is because they're usable in combat. And the more you can cure in one round of combat, the more that should cost. But I just fucked up the math, and so it turns out that the second one was better. And what we did with the HP and the MP restores was we just sort of rounded up from what I thought was the optimum way of just converting meat into HP and meat into MP, which was the first order Docalactics cures and the soda water. But turns out that's not the case. It's conceivable that I will consider it and reduce the cost of the HP healing. I mean, it ended up, the suggestion was for it to be something like 17 or something, which that's a little goofy. I like having nice round numbers in there. But, let's see. Thoughtstipated says, "Some people have what seems to be like hundreds of farming multis, and it really seems to play with the game economy. What exactly is the policy on multis and farming?" Well, if you have multis and you're farming them for the benefit of a main, then they're going to eventually get caught and disabled. We've pretty much got all the people with hundreds of multis. I mean, we've got, you know, good tools for tracking that people have not yet figured out how to avoid the notice of. At least as far as I know. If they were avoiding our notice, we wouldn't notice, though. So, yeah. Yeah. Phoenix says, "Okay, so my question is, once you're cured of the sickness, is it possible to catch it again?" Yes, yes it is. In fact, when you catch it again, it seems, from all of our research, like you're getting it at a more advanced stage than if you got it in the first place. And Nama says, "What happens if you never get cured?" Your account gets disabled after 8 days. Actually, after 28 days would be a funnier way of doing that. 28 days later. Your account isn't there anymore. The nice one says, "Can you please make the larval form of the unwound symbol-playing monkey have movement?" It had a movement right before a picture got taken for the store. Sephiroth says, "Sephiroth has apparently been drinking a lot."
Sephiroth is a very funky
Scully. "Is Scully a robot tanned? That's why he can't grows hims osme he airs."
That's why he can't grow hair.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand what it is. You know, that's kind of what bothers me about those people that are like, "Why are you criticizing my grammar and spelling in this forum or in this chat room? As long as people know what I'm trying to say, then it's fine." You know, and my response is always like, "Okay, go into McDonald's and point at what you want to order and just grunt at the menu. You know, they'll know what you mean, they'll know what you want, but you're going to look like an idiot." And not to say that Sephiroth is an idiot, but this does kind of make him look like one, and I'm sorry to say that, but I don't know. He might be a robot. Although, I've seen him age, so if he's a robot, he's a very sophisticated robot. Olaf the Mediocre says, "Can you play some DC talk?" And I can't because I don't have any. I'm sure Mr. Skullhead might have some DC Talk MP3s, or at least some CDs that he could rip. The nice one says, do you really need to make more meat sinks? It's not going to hurt anything. It's going to... meat sinks, they hedge against future inflation. Criswell says, can we trust Dr. Lactic's plague count, and can we trust you? Yes and no. So, that was very little information I just gave you. The nice one also says, what made you go with the name Grey Plague over G-R-E-Y Plague or K-O-L or, I went with Grey Plague over Gree Plague because Hot Stuff kept bitching about spelling it G-R-E-Y. And I guess it's really G-R-A-Y in American spelling. K-O-L-era I never liked because I don't like pronouncing K-O-L coal or call. And K-O-L-era just doesn't flow. When we conceived of it, we just called it the Gray Plague because it turns things gray. Zeno says, is there a chance that combat-specific familiars will ever gain more importance in battle? Yeah, I guess nobody really uses them now. I mean, they do in the beginning. I mean, they're important against the sorceress. You know, it's conceivable that... You know, I feel like... I mean, I guess the problem is that as far as leveling goes, you're better off fighting easy monsters with a fully leveled up volleyball than you are fighting monsters that are tougher than you with something with a familiar that beats on them and allows them to beat or allows you to beat them better. Parse says, and in a strange yet slightly disgusting turn of confluency, there is now an angry farmer, or Jolly Rancher Mexican candy. Search for Jolly Rancher Frutas Enchiladas to see it. Wow, fruit enchiladas. Zaku says, with all the new rings, can the Cornathom / Vorpal Blade still be zapped into the Ring of Aggravate Monster? Wow, I don't know how that works. Yeah, it is. So I guess they can, but the ring cannot be zapped into the Cornathom or the Vorpal Blade. Well, you know what? That entirely depends on what order I check those things in the code. You know what? No, if it was checking the item set, you would never have gotten the other rings. So it's got to be checking the set first. Let's see. What did I call that? Wand.php. Let me take a look. Okay, right. So if it has a category, it checks that. If it doesn't have a category, it checks to see if it's in a set of items and then uses that. So that was an excellent question. That's something that I never even thought of when I did that. DVMAPRESON says, I accidentally clicked down to pull jumbo olives from Hanks and then decided to hold off. Type 0 in the olive pull list and it used the rest of my pulls on olives. Sucks. Fix it? Well, it says right on the screen there that that's what it's going to do. I don't know. Yeah. Jan Dungeon Man says, hey, Jake, is there any chance of being able to open packages from the message system? It's annoying to have to go all the way to miscellaneous inventory. No, because that's going to confuse people because it's not going to open the one that you're clicking on. It's going to open the first one that you have in your queue of packages of that type. So, no. Miss Martini says, hey, Jake, I love you, I really do. Sometimes the Jake Show gets a little, well, blah. When you play songs, they are cool, but I'm thinking it would be cool if you did little skits / com Eddie or com pression fractures. Well, I mean, you know, my Thursday show and our Monday show, mine and Mr. Skullhead's, are... really kind of catering to two different audiences, which I feel like have some overlap, but I don't know how significant it is. It gets blah. If you mean it gets blah because all I do is talk about game mechanics, then, just not your kind of show. If you mean it gets blah because I suck at talking, then I don't really think there's anything I can do about that. And, I mean, if I did skits, they would suck just as much because, I mean, I get less funny when I'm trying to be funny. LOTE says, on the door in the lair where you use all the keys, you can't use the Cobb's Knob lab key. Why not? Well, that's because I've been ignoring that item on the to-do list, which has been there for like a year. Doppelheathen says, regarding the sky area, how about exploring the moons? That is actually what the Beanstalk was supposed to go to in the first place. My idea was that the Beanstalk would take you to Ronald, and you would fuck around up there, and then on certain phases, you would be able to, like, some kind of gate would open on Ronald that would allow you to go to Grimace. And, yeah, I don't know. I may still do that. I don't know what we would put up there, though. I don't know if we'd want it to be, like, science fiction-y, or if we'd want it to be, like, I don't know. What kind of moon fantasy stuff is there? I could look at, like, Spelljammer source books or something. Or I think Riff was talking about some D&D campaign that took place in space. We could look at that. I love Jews and want to buy them jam says, I don't think you're right with that statement about only going up one place. If three people share fourth place, the next person is at seventh, not fifth or sixth. Oh, yeah. Huh, well... Yeah, I don't either. No, that's an excellent question. I mean, if... Huh.
Yeah, if one person gets to first place and two people are tied for third place, the next person is fourth place.
Are they, though? I mean, because I don't feel like that's how it should work. I mean, I honestly feel like... I mean, I feel like in the Olympics, if, like, somebody won the gold medal, two people tied for silver, they wouldn't give the fourth guy, like, an aluminum medal. I mean, I think he would get the bronze. You know, he would technically be in third place since two people won second place. But, I mean, in this case, I mean, it tells you more, like, saying that, you know, the next person is in fourth tells you more about how many people are ahead of you. Because, I mean, what that place ranking is supposed to tell you is how many people are above you in advertising. So I'm guessing it's okay the way that it is now. It just gets a little confusing at the bottom because you would think, like, you know, if a bunch of people were tied for two places. My gut reaction is that those places would be one integer apart, but that doesn't really give you a whole lot of information. It gives you less information than it would to say that, in this guy's example, that they're in seventh, for instance. Although I might not have read his example for you, so, yeah, there you go. Doppelheathen, is suggesting that other buffs be turnable into items like the Smile of Mr. A is now, and I'm still not decided on whether I like that or not. commercials, says Miss Martini. Like if you did one for Hanks and all the cool places around the KOL world, they could be cheesy and funny and all that good stuff. Huh. It would be interesting if we had some stuff to go in, like little interstitial things to go in around the songs. It would kill more time. Left says, hey, Jake, you're saying hella a lot. Have you just lived with a lot of Californians, or is that a slang that has a wider range than I thought? I mean, I think I probably picked it up from television, but it does fill a lexical gap that I feel needs filling. You know, I mean, I suppose it you could say seriously or... really, but I mean, it seems to work. I mean, what is it? I forget how I justified using that. I can't think about it now. I don't know. I mean, I slip in and out of slang, like runway model slips in and out of outfits and rehab. Garland says, I have an idea. How about making the small interface changes that have been implemented in the last 6 months randomly revert back to their original state? Huh. Yeah, what we did. I mean, I have the original versions of all of those things, but I just don't... Weird. Black Mask says, I just have to say something, Jake. Your voice reminds me of Simmons from Red vs. Blue. I've only watched through part of the first season of Red vs. Blue, and I don't remember who Simmons is. But, thank you. Frickazoid says, are there plans for a New Year's Day holiday of some sort? Maybe where eating beans gives you luck? Huh. That's an interesting idea, and I wish it hadn't been brought up publicly now. Prank Monkey says, would it be possible to place symbols in the stat and main pages to indicate when they are synchronized? This would help with lag issues related to adventuring before updated HP, etc. I wonder if it wouldn't be worth it whenever the character pane refresh gets set to have a little hidden, like, hourglass icon appear at the top of the character pane. That would crap. Frog in my throat, and I apologize for it. Is it crap storm? No, it's not. That's actually kind of interesting. I mean, it would theoretically, the solution to that problem is to just eliminate lag, which we're working on. But that might be handy. I mean, to indicate that something has changed and the character pane may or may not be out of date. I wonder. Putting something in the footer of every page that if the reload character flag was set in the session, that it would change the visibility on just a tiny little hourglass icon that was always at the top left corner of the character pane. And then when the character pane reloaded, it would be invisible again. That might be worth doing. At least it would give you a better indication than, like, the little whirling globe in the Internet Explorer thing that it was being updated. The Alchemist says, hey, Jake, just wondering if you could tell us exactly how many comfy blankets are in the kingdom. Thanks a ton. I think Cologne sent out, like, 900 of them. Shaji says, you don't need to get to level 14 in hardcore, just to 11 to beat the Sork before you get to the before you get back at the rest of the interaction. No. What I'm saying is, you would have to acquire the skill in hardcore before, or would you? Right now, if you're in... That's, okay, weird. Sometimes I find it hard to get my head around the actual mechanics. Okay, like right now, if you drop out of hardcore and then buy a skill, like not drop out of hardcore, you're in hardcore, you've completed a hardcore ascension, you defeat the king, you buy a new skill, can you keep that as a hardcore skill? I think you can. I think you can keep it. No, if you free the king. I mean, there's the reason that we don't give everybody back all their soft core skills once they've freed the king. It doesn't work like that? Huh. I have to look at that, because the thing is, guys, I never ascend. As you know, I've only ascended 5 times, and I only actually existed for 3 of them. DeChort says, do you own a Black Lotus? No. I own a gray Lexus. It's not. No, I don't have. I don't have any good magic cards. I sold all of my. Good cards when I stopped playing a lot of magic, and so now I still have. You know, I would say, I don't know, a stack of magic cards which would be probably 4 feet tall if I piled them all up, but they're all commons and uncommons, which we really, one of these days, need to go through there and make some decks and play some magic. Just fun magic like magic used to be. I recouped all the money that I spent on magic by selling just a handful of cards. It is definitely the case that you can buy a new skill and then hardcoreize that skill. Okay, so that's a little... the thing about then getting the higher level skills in hardcore, I mean, it adds days onto your ascension, I guess, to level, but once you've defeated the king, then... I mean, as long as we design the upper level content such that it's just hard unless you've got a lot of stuff, you know, I mean, we design it for something to make, you know, to be challenging even for people who aren't in hardcore.
Or just, like, dump all of your
god hardcore. Yeah, that's true. I just really feel like that would confuse people, though.
Yeah.
Like, you only get to keep in hardcore a skill that you got before you freed the king.
Yeah,
Yeah, we could explain it at least. But, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal. Slightly Sasha says, would it be possible to implement making the miracle cure usable like a Wang? That way we might actually have a chance of curing this thing. That's interesting. Although, and this is just a tendency of people that I absolutely don't understand. People would throw a fucking fit if you could cure them of the plague against their will. I can't even imagine what the forum threads would look like, and I can't imagine the extent to which they would infuriate me just because I do not understand. Like, so many people just railed against the ability to be wanged against their will, and I just don't get it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, this is a weird aspect of this kind of stuff. There are a lot of times when people are whining about something, and everybody's like, well, we need to fix this, they're whining about it. No, not everybody. And you really don't. I mean, you just have to let people stop, you know, you let people get over the whining. It's like, I don't know, in that thing I linked to a long time ago, I talked about it in another show, that there's a sort of list of things that people learned about running MUDs for a long time, the sort of principles that all of which I looked at, and I'm like, yep, I remember when I learned this particular lesson in KOL, is you can't let complaints drive your decisions, because then people will just get used to complaints changing things and you just lose control. So, I mean, there are things that I believe are good and people are going to bitch about them, but I'm going to keep them in there and not let the people who are whining about it influence my decision. And eventually people get used to it because it's just part of the game and they stop whining. And, you know, it's good. I don't, you know, feel like we should be totally unresponsive to our player base. And I think we do better than most games at faking a Castilian accent. We do better than most games at, sort of, you know, communicating with our player base, at least. And, I mean, I'm, you know, the other games I play, I don't talk to them. I can't, which is not to say that I'm the easiest guy in the world to get a hold of, but, you know, we do these, and we don't, you know, we read questions from people. And unless they're, you know, there are very few questions that we're just not going to answer. There are very few questions that I just ignore. I mean, if I see something that I don't have anything interesting to say about, then I won't answer it. If it's like, why are you such a fag? Actually, I probably would read that one. Because, you know, I like it when people talk to me about stuff like that, right, you know. Like, Zlyania always forwards me the K-mails that are like, you suck, huge cock, you huge cocksucker. Some of the more creative ones. And, okay, looks like I'm about out of time here. I am going to, I'll answer this, Sinaste. He asks, as many people do, where are you going with the plague? Around the Golden Horn! Now I'm going to play a song and hand you off to Merrick. What song are you going to play, you ask? I don't know, I reply. I'll have to glance through my songs I got, and I'll go into my big directory full of MP3s that I downloaded from some service before Napster. How about Cap in Hand by the Proclaimers, which is 3 minutes and 24 seconds long, which is good handoff time, and let me make absolutely sure that Merrick is ready. Merrick types. Dot, 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 dot. Yep, whenever you are. All right, here we are. Going to go out with the Proclaimers. I went out with the Proclaimers once. They were really nice. And then we did an Eliminate-style thing because there were two of them, but then I couldn't tell them apart, so I accidentally sent them both home. And then just cried myself to sleep. All right. I'll see you guys on Monday.